Hi, everyone, and welcome to Intuitive Awakening. My name is Dina. Thank you so much for joining me this week. This week, I am very excited to have a lovely guest on our show. Her name is Victoria Shaw, and she is an intuitive counselor. Victoria received her doctorate in cognitive psychology from Princeton University. She earned her MA in counseling from Fairfield University, and she is a licensed professional counselor and a state-certified school counselor. Victoria has advanced training in several counseling modalities, even including energy psychology, which I can't wait to talk about. And, her approach to counseling and therapy is holistic. She draws from a variety of theoretical frameworks, tools, and techniques to meet the needs of each of her clients. So welcome to the show, Victoria.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
So I wanted to ask you, just at the start, do you have, because I know you're an intuitive counselor, and I know you have extensive training in very traditional psychotherapy, do you have a spiritual / religious background?
I do not have a religious background, but I absolutely have a spiritual background, and I practice both my work as a counselor and also as an intuitive reader and coach from that spiritual perspective. So whether my clients are spiritual, or we're all spiritual because I believe we're all spiritual beings in physical form, but whether they are tuned in consciously to their spirituality or not, it informs like who I am and the way that I work, for sure.
So since you are an intuitive counselor, can you please talk to me about how that intuitive journey began?
Absolutely. So for me, I earned my doctorate right out of college, so quite a while ago. Always was interested in the mind and always interested in how the mind worked and the brain worked. And that fascination led me to earn my PhD in cognitive psychology and also my postdoctoral work in developmental and cognitive developmental psychology. So it was a huge interest of mine. But I found that the sort of left brain scientific approach, as wonderful as it is, for me was not satisfying, and everything was very research-based and very segmented. So if you studied the mind, I was interested in ideas like what is consciousness, but really what you end up doing a lot of times in psychology research is looking at a very small problem, doing research, and I didn't find that satisfying for me. So I left my first love and took some time off to write books and raise a family, which were both really fun things to do. And then as my kids were getting older, you know, I think I started to hear the call of my soul again. And I kept thinking, you know, there's something I'm supposed to be doing and I don't know what it is, but I need to figure that out because, you know, I just kept feeling it stronger and stronger. And at the same time, I also kept hearing the call from a lot of people that I was working with, that I also needed to develop my intuition. And I think I'd had these gifts since childhood, but I hadn't, you know, really had a frame of reference for understanding them. And so I really went on that journey as well. And as my intuition developed, I started to refocus in realizing how I was being called to serve, and went back and got my counseling degree because I felt that a lot of the information that was coming through for me intuitively was, you know, for other people was of a counseling nature. And I really wanted to ground my practice in something. And because I think I was already a psychologist, it sort of made sense to add that degree to my credentials again, and sort of learn the concrete skills for working with people so that I would have a container through which to work and also to support and channel that intuitive knowing.
That call that you had, like from, you know, within, can you, you know, share with the audience, what was the actual, you know, journey, that intuitive journey? What did that look like for you?
Great question. You know, at first it started as just a feeling like I'm supposed to be doing something, you know, the way that many people feel, like life isn't satisfying, I'm bored, I'm not sure. I love being a mom. My kids are big now, but I loved not every bit of that process, but most bits of that process. It was a great learning and growth experience for me. But I started to feel like, you know, this isn't enough. I'm supposed to be doing something else too. And so at first it came from like a restlessness, and then more and more it began to gain focus. And you know, as I got the call to expand and tap into my intuition, it also meant for me personally learning to still my mind, because intuition, as you probably know, comes from that place of presence. It comes when our mind is still, because it doesn't come from the mind. And also sort of, it was a lot of personal development work. I worked 3 years with the life coach. I did a lot of work with different energy healers and different intuitive healers. And later in the journey, even some therapists, because it was very important for me to sort of start to kind of clear that channel by also clearing up all my emotional stuff and gunk. And, you know, the more I worked on that, the clearer I got. And then I think you get a certain point too, where your intuition kicks in and begins to guide you more directly, more consciously, even more about what those next steps are. So basically I just kept following those breadcrumbs.
So in terms of utilizing your intuition, you know, as a part of your practice, I wanted to talk to you about some of these alternative approaches that you've kind of incorporated, some of these techniques that you use. Sure. And one of the ones I read was energy psychology. And I'm super fascinated to hear about what energy psychology is, how you use it, how it works, et cetera.
Right. So energy psychology is sort of a blanket term for all of the psychotherapeutic modalities that work with our energy bodies and our energy system. And the most common one that many, many people practice is EFT, which is, what's it called? Emotional freedom technique, which is actually about activating and tapping on the acupuncture meridians and using that to move energy through the energy body and to help people with their mental, emotional, and sometimes even physical distress. And it's something that you don't have to be a therapist to do, but many therapists are trained in it. And I know many amazing EFT practitioners that are not therapists, they're life coaches or other kinds of healers that also use it. But that is mostly what I mean by energy psychology. I also do energy work. So in my intuitive work, but I sometimes weave that into my counseling as well. I'm able to sense energy and the energy bodies of other people. I'm able to tap into the chakra system, which is the energy centers that are in our bodies, in our physical bodies, that are sort of the interface between, and you may probably already know this, but maybe the listeners don't, that's between our physical bodies and our energetic bodies, because we are all energy beings. And so our chakras is sort of where physical and that next layer of energy meet. And so I'm able to visualize and work on that level as well. And most of that I do with my mind's eye. But that is another form of energy therapy as well. And I've also actually been trained in that somewhat also through the same people from whom I learned the EFT.
So with energy work then, did you primarily focus on, or in addition, did you work with like Reiki healers? Is that a part of your repertoire?
Reiki is not something I do. It's something that's great. I know a lot of people that practice Reiki. For me, that was just not in my, that's not something that I do. I have the ability to move energy, but it's sort of my own thing. So I'm a big fan for me personally, and it's different for everyone, but for me personally, I follow my inner guidance first, and I whatever my inner guidance tells me to do, I feel like my soul probably has lots of information from other lifetimes, from other things to tell me how to proceed. And so most of the time I surrender to that. And that's where most of my best ideas come from.
So when you say that you have the ability to move energy, can you be a little bit more explicit about that?
Absolutely. I can, but give me a minute. So when you move energy, it's just a sense, and we all do this all the time. Thoughts are energy, feelings are energy. Everything is pretty much made up of energy. And so we move energy all the time when we shift our thought patterns, or sometimes when we think really hard about something that we would like to happen for someone else, we are moving energy. Prayer is a form of moving energy, or at least contributing and shifting energies of people. And so I have that ability sometimes when I'm working with people to start to help them release and help them shift their thought patterns or shift patterns in their energetic bodies. I also, and this is way beyond my counseling work, but I also have developed a technique, as strange as it seems, where I work with a stuffed animal. I work with a monkey And I'm able to work on people's physical bodies by working on the monkey. And I know it sounds strange, but people actually come and ask me for the monkey. So they find it really, really helpful, and it's really easy to do.
Would you be willing to give a little bit more detail about that?
Absolutely. I literally have a stuffed monkey in my office. I developed this strategy just spontaneously, like everything that I do. One day I was working on someone and they said, "Ooh, I have this pain, you know, I have a headache." And I was like, I think I can work on that. And I work with a lot of children. So I had a stuffed animal in my office and I started working on their head, and we found some tightness in their jaw, and we found different things, some of which they already knew about. So it was very validating that my hands were experiencing something that, you know, they were actually having too. And so after that, it kind of became a thing. It's also really nice for me as a therapist, because sometimes trauma is also stored in the body. So sometimes by using that technique, I can get an intuitive hit on where something is happening in someone's physical body. Sometimes when we can release a pain or release a stitch or release something, we can actually release emotional stuff too and trauma too. So it works that way as well. But literally all I'm doing when I do this technique, and I don't always share this right out of the gate, but is, it's all good, but is that I'm just really like rubbing an animal and using a stuffed animal and using that as a surrogate for my client. So sort of like a reverse voodoo doll, but it's not creepy at all.
Oh, that's so interesting. I can guarantee many listeners are probably going to want to talk to you one-on-one that technique.
It's really cool. I mean, I have heard since then there is such a thing as a Reiki doll, which is similar. Again, I just use these washable stuffed animals because I did find, after practicing for a while with a lot of different people, I started to pick up the stuffed animal and it started to feel like literally heavy, like it felt heavier. I don't know if it was physically heavy if I put it on the scale, but my felt sense was that it was heavy. So after that, I learned that I wash them after each client so they stay nice and pristine.
That's a very, very interesting and innovative approach to helping people. So you said that a lot of your ideas come from your intuition, especially after having, you know, worked on yourself personally, you know, developed, et cetera. So for the listeners, where does this intuition come from? What is this intuition exactly?
I believe that intuition comes from our connection with our higher selves or our spirit. And so I believe everybody has intuition because we are all spiritual beings in physical forms. And your intuition is sort of like your spiritual guidance system. And it's how we, as much as we are open to it, can connect with our souls and, you know, our guidance for our highest spiritual good. I think that most people, we live in a society that really focuses on our linear logical minds and developing that. And I definitely spent the first at least 20 some years of my life firmly in that camp of really valuing my intellect and thinking that was the most important thing. But really, I think in its best sense, the intellect really works best when it works in service of the intuition. And so now more and more, I let my intuition in life take the lead, and I use my intellectual knowing either as almost like a file cabinet where I know lots of tools and techniques and I have lots of information. I allow my intuition to point me to which file drawer to open rather than sort of going through the whole drawer and trying to use my mind to figure out where to begin. And that works really nicely for me. And I think it's much more creative and it's much more freeing.
So with intuitive development, you do offer workshops to help people cultivate their intuition. What can experience in this type of workshop? How do you help people strengthen like their own inner voice and, you know, meet their own intuition, if you will?
The first step is just to recognize that it's a thing and to set the intention. And I can't stress enough how important it is to just set the intention to begin to live an intuitively guided life. Because when we set that intention, things tend to like fall in place without you even having to try that hard. So that's really the first thing. And I find that people that take my workshops or people that come in for sessions, or even I host a monthly book group where we read books about intuition and spirituality, and people that read those books, follow my email list, and just, you know, look at what the books are, even if they don't read them, show up and actually come to the book group. All of those things, the more you devote yourself to this idea of intuition. And the more you set that intention, the more things blossom naturally, normally, because that's really how life works. When we set an intention and then we get out of our way, magical things happen.
Definitely. So in terms of also this workshop, I have to ask, because I think many listeners are probably curious about it. Are you, do you include any tools? Okay, so what type of tools do you include?
Absolutely. So the first step is that intention. But yes, of course, tools are helpful too. So there are a lot of different tools that we can use to open up our intuition. One of the biggest ones is learning how to still your mind. Because intuition, as I said before, it comes from, it doesn't come from your mind. It comes from that place of stillness, that space of consciousness, which is really who you really are. And the more that we can enter that inner still space, the more we can hear the call of our soul and tap into our intuitive wisdom. So that's really any practice that can help you still your mind is a great way to start to tap into your intuition. It's also really helpful to know and have some understanding of the way in which our intuition communicates with us. It's different for everyone, but there are common ways. And so the more we become familiar with how our intuition individually works, then we can start to see the signs and also better discern between what's your intuition and what's your thinking mind, because they are different. And most of the time you can tell the difference, but for a lot of people, there's a little bit of a learning curve to start to learn how to discern. So for me, my intuition originally, my main sources of receiving intuitive wisdom were through my body. So things like the chills or, you know, those gut feelings, a weird feeling in your stomach when something is wrong, or an expansive feeling in your body when a choice is really, 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 you know, the right thing to do. Also, I had a sense of knowing. So there were things in my life that I just knew. I couldn't tell you how I knew them. They weren't things, it wasn't the way that I know the things that I learned in school. It was a full body knowing and so strong that, you know, I knew it or some, or I was going mad. So examples for me was, I mean, many people have this experience, but one example for me was on the second date with a man who is now my husband, I knew I was going to marry him. I wasn't even that into him, to be honest, at the time. We'd been married almost 25 years. But on the second date, we are sitting in the movie theater, and all of a sudden, I'm like, this is it. This is the guy. And I was actually kind of making myself a little bit nuts because, you know, that's not what you want to be thinking on a second date. But I knew I was going to marry him. And in fact, 25 years later, we are still married.
Wow. That's exciting.
So, and I, right. And at that point in my life, I wasn't even really tapped into my intuition all that much. But again, it just hit me over the head and I knew. And many people have had those kind of knowing experiences. And usually if you have it, it's clear. You just know. Other people experience intuition by seeing visions or imagery. That wasn't a big one for me. At the beginning, some people even see energy and they see auras. It's developed for me over time, but I didn't start that way. And I think that's another thing that's important, is it's good to start with what comes naturally to you. Other things may open up or develop, but sometimes people will say, well, Victoria, you're so good at reading people and you do this thing and I want to do what you do. And I'm like, no, you need to learn to do what you do. You have your own special gifts and you want to start with what comes naturally normal to you. Because A, you're going to develop your intuition much better by starting with what comes naturally, but also we all have our unique gifts and it's really important that we honor that and we honor ourselves and we be who we are, because that's when we shine the brightest.
I completely agree. So along the same lines, you also offer a mindfulness therapy, and I was wondering if you could share with the audience some details about that type of therapy.
Absolutely. And again, I'm a very eclectic practitioner. So what I do is I have tools in my toolbox, some of which I've been trained in and some of which that my guidance gives me on the spot. And I use my intuition to discern what is going to be the right thing for the client at a certain moment of time. Also keeping in mind that they may have intuitions too. And I always honor that. But mindfulness therapies are ones, there's actually a lot, and it's sort of a broad term, because therapies like dialectical behavioral therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy, meditation, incorporating meditation, all can fall into that realm of mindfulness. But mindfulness is when we learn to be present with ourselves, with our feelings, with the present moment without judgment. And when we learn to do that, we find that the things that are getting in our way, those uncomfortable feelings, belief patterns that aren't serving us, addictive behaviors or compulsive behaviors, when we learn to approach those things from that place of loving awareness, we find naturally, normally, they transform.
Right.
And that mindful state also is a wonderful thing to cultivate because it can bring you that sense of comfort and peace when life gets overwhelming. Because when, again, you can find that space of equanimity, find that space of peace, find that space of acceptance, it gives you a shelter in the storm.
Yes, definitely. Another thing I wanted to ask you, because I know you definitely have many techniques and tools to help your clients. However, I also, when I was doing research, I know that you work with children, teens, and adults, and you work with them on, during like difficult, I would say, life yes. transitions. How does your intuition guide your counseling for clients who have, let's say, for example, who are going through difficult life transitions, like suffering some sort of major loss in their life, et cetera?
I love that question. That's such a good question. It's so fun to answer. I mean, it can help in many different ways, but one of the source of information that sometimes let me just stop because I want to get the exact right answer here. You know, we often grow through struggle and grow through loss and grow through the crises in our lives. And that's not the only way that we grow as human beings and spirits, but it's a very common one on earth right now. And so oftentimes when someone is going through a crisis or going through a struggle, there's something that their spirit would like to learn or gain from that experience. And one of the cool things about practicing from this intuitive, more spiritually based perspective is oftentimes I can provide wisdom and guidance for people and help them tap into their own wisdom and guidance around, you know, what am I meant to get out of this experience? And where is this going? And how do I find the meaning in it? Because sometimes finding meaning in a struggle can be so deeply healing and so deeply transformative. I can also get information for people and guidance for people on, you know, if they're not at that level where they really want to experience this what they consider to be a tragedy as a great spiritual experience. And I never force that on anyone because we are all ready to, we all have our perspective and it's really important that we honor our experiences. But I can also sometimes hold the space and have that information for people so that I can see that picture of what they're, where to go and what will help them in the situation, what will help them get back in their feet and what will help them get the life lessons that they're meant to learn from this experience. And so that's why I think that the intuition helps so much with that.
So when you're working with a client and yes, they've suffered a loss, et cetera, is the experience kind of like you have literally a knowingness or an intuitive hit where you already know what the lesson is that person is, you know, supposed to be learning during that experience?
Sometimes my guidance will tell me directly. And sometimes my guidance will simply give me information about, you know, how to support them, you know, what to say, how to help them sometimes too, because my intuition, I can read people's thoughts and I can read their thoughts. Sometimes the thoughts and emotions that are just below consciousness, which I believe is what any good therapist does, by the way, whether they realize they're using their intuition or not. And many of them are. And sometimes too, when you can start to help people verbalize those things that are just below the consciousness, that can be really transformative. When you can help people be at peace with all of the feelings they're having, because sometimes we disallow feelings. And, you know, when you're having a life transition or an upheaval, and this is true with a lot of my really quote unquote spiritual clients, when they're angry or they're hurt or they're upset, but they don't think it's okay to have those feelings, right? I can help to normalize that and normalize that experience, because that which we resist gets stronger. It doesn't go away. And knowing that your humanness, you know, will no matter how enlightened you are, your humanness may bring up the whole range of feels. And they're all okay. And they're all normal. And we can get through and love all of the aspects of our human experience.
So along the same lines, when you have clients, like spiritual clients who are going through, you know, either like unexpected loss, you know, death, you know, just some sort of major life change, even though you are able to kind of, you know, tap in and know what that lesson might be for them, do you ever have your clients tune into their own intuition to get that information for themselves as well?
Oh, absolutely, yes. And when people come into my office, I always tell them, I'm a conduit for your guidance, and you get to, and you are also, part of your job is to tune in and see what resonates, what comes out of my mouth, if it resonates with you, because that's like the first step in empowering people to know that their, you know, their wisdom is primary. I'm just here to help be the pointer to get them back towards that, because sometimes we just need someone else to support us, especially when you're going through a very overwhelming thing. I also find spontaneously a lot of times, just through resonance and just through holding that space and just for helping my clients, you know, at least for the moment that we're together, be at that higher vibration, be a little bit closer to stillness, be present, that they will spontaneously hear their own wisdom and more in the course of our sessions. So it's not really anything that I have to do. It's just holding the space for it. And in that space, it often arises quite naturally and normally. And sometimes with some clients in some circumstances, I may point out, oh, hey, that's your intuition, just so you know. And other times it's not necessary at all. It just comes through and they get the information they need. And, you know, they're better and they move on.
So with, so with children and teens, I imagine obviously the counseling is a lot more different than, you know, with adults who are dealing with life transitions or changes. So when you're working with children and teens, obviously, of course, your intuition is going to guide you there. But given that with adults, you know, that there is a lesson to be learned, like maybe at a, you know, a spiritual level as well. How does your intuition like help you with children and teens who go through, let's say, sudden loss or sudden change? Is your intuition the same in that it's telling you there's a lesson for them in this as well?
I think there's a lesson in everything, and even more than lesson, there's a purpose in everything. And or multiple purposes in every experience. I think that life is actually pretty efficient and nothing is wasted. But again, it's not always helpful in someone in the moment to tell someone, yeah, you know, you just lost your mom, but it's a good lesson. You know what I mean? Because the lesson is in the experience, and grieving is part of the experience. And again, being loved and supported through that experience is obviously a really great place to start. And that's a big part of what I do. For sure. I have worked with children that have experienced loss, and all sorts of different things happen. It's coping. It's getting the life back on track. It's what I love about working with children is when you work with adults, you're working sort of backwards to that inner child to help heal that and heal the stuff that then the quote unquote damage, although it's not really damage, but some of us think about that, the things that happened in childhood that have stuck with us and we have to sort of undo. When you're working with a child, you're in there, you know, as it's happening. And so you can get a lot of awareness and a lot of buffering and support right at the start so that you can, you know that when they become adults, they're going to be stronger and that the experiences that they have will impact them less or differently because they've had that support early on. So a lot of my work with kids is from that perspective. And it's always with every client I work at on, it's always, what do they need now? And it's different for everyone. And it's different at every moment. But that's always what I come back to. And I ask for my guidance to, you know, guide me in helping this client, you know, with whatever I'm being called to serve, what they need now. And oftentimes with children, it's a safe place. It's a safe place to sit with their feelings. It's knowing they're loved. It's knowing they're supported. It might be specific tools to handle a situation. I have at times sometimes use my mediumship abilities when I'm dealing with loss. And, you know, with kids, it's great because they're so imaginary. There's so much in their imagination anyway. And they're so more open anyway that you can do so much with fantasy. And I don't have to, you know, it doesn't have to be woo-woo at all because they're already there. But I have at times, you know, sort of what if questions, what if your brother that's deceased, you know, what might he say if you asked him this question? And I have in doing so facilitated questions with the deceased, conversations with the deceased between my clients without them ever realizing it. But that was one example. But a lot of times it's really just providing support.
Definitely. So I did want to ask you, just out of, I guess, my own curiosity, is it considered, I guess, taboo or accepted now, these alternative approaches, such as, like, I guess, energy healing, et cetera, that you've incorporated into therapy? Is this, has this become, I guess, mainstream, accepted, or is it still kind of looked down or frowned upon?
So I think that's another great question, and I'll tell you about my personal journey. So I've been practicing about 10 years, and when I first started practicing, I was doing these two things independently. So my intuition opened up first, and I had clients, and I was doing intuitive, a lot of parent consulting, and a lot of work based on my psychology training and my intuitive gifts, and basically doing a lot of intuitive readings. And I also had gone back to school to get my counseling degree. And so when I graduated with my counseling degree, it was really about, I was like, I want to put these two things together. And at that point in time, I remember talking to a colleague that was further along, and she's also an intuitive. And she said to me, it's not time. She said, I think she said like 2015, or she said, basically the world is moving at a very fast pace, but it's not quite ready for what you do. 2015 will be the year you put your practices together. And that, in fact, is what happened. And I feel between the time I started practicing, which was 2011, to now, and that's when I started doing the counseling, I've been doing my intuitive piece a bit longer. It's just remarkable how many more people come to me, how many more people are open to the intuitive piece, how many clients come to me without necessarily knowing all the things that I do. And, we'll drop a hint or say something that makes me realize, oh, you're open to this. So I think there's a much greater openness to all of these things now than there was even 10 years ago. I think also it depends what pockets of people that you're at. Things like energy psychology, when I first got my training, the American Psychological Association would not recognize, they would not give continuing education credits for energy psychology and EFT and those kinds of modalities. But now they finally will do that. And so I think we're in a shift and a change, and I think there'll always be people that are interested in the woo-woo or the more spiritually based or more holistically based processes and practices, and that's fine, because the world is a diverse place, and there's help will find you no matter where you look if it's meant to come your way. But I do find in my own practice, many, many, many more people are open, and even clients that initially will come to me from a referral from a mainstream source like a school, or because I've been practicing long enough that I get lots of referrals, or a doctor's office, will very quickly let me know that they're open to the full range of tools that I offer.
Well, it definitely seems like they are way more open-minded now, obviously,
Yeah,
than
yeah.
they were some time ago. So I actually wanted to jump back to when we were talking about this intuitive development workshop, because there was a question that I had that I did not ask. And I wanted to know, because I guarantee you that many of the listeners are going to want to know this, do you only work with adults, or do you also work with teens with helping them to develop their own intuition?
So far, as a formula, although this is a good thought, I mostly offer the workshops for adults. I do actually have an online class that's about to go live, which I'm so excited about. And that would be appropriate for most things that adults can do, are also appropriate for teens. I would think that that would be appropriate for teenagers. I would love to do more courses and group work for kids because, again, kids are so naturally intuitive that they get it so much faster, and so much of it is play-based. And with adults, I often have to teach them to rediscover that sense of play and that sense of imagination, which my kiddos, still come to naturally. But in terms of the groups that I offer right now, it's mostly geared towards adults. I have a children's book coming out, which is Sleep Strategies. And I am hoping that when that one is done, I also would like to write its tools to help parents and children. And parents get their children to sleep and children to fall asleep. And my next book after that that I've been working on is actually Intuition Tools, your intuition toolbox for kids. So stay tuned for that.
Definitely. I think a lot of parents who are listening also who would like their children to develop would probably be
Right.
excited
Right. Yeah.
about
And
that information.
with kids too, a lot of it is I do teach parents how to help and foster their child's intuition. And I do workshops on that and teachings on that all the time. And what's important there is to recognize that kids are naturally intuitive. Like everyone else, some kids are more intuitive than others, but they all have it. And as kids get older, they disconnect from that because our world is more intellectually based. But if you have a language at home for supporting and normalizing intuitive experiences, that is the first important step. That goes a long way to helping your kid preserve and tap into their intuition throughout the lifespan. And you see a lot of people that will say, I'm a third generation psychic. And I think there may be a genetic component for sure. I don't know, in terms of just how easily it comes to you. But I also think it's because those people grew up in an atmosphere that really fostered and gave language and gave understanding and acceptance and value to their intuitive knowing. And that makes it so much easier to develop and so much easier for us to stay tuned in. So I think that's the most important thing that parents can do. And to be comfortable also with their own intuition and model that for their children, that's also really important. And we never want to force anything on anyone, because I'd sometimes have parents that, you know, force the woo-woo on their children and their children aren't comfortable. But just setting, leading by example is huge, because our kids watch us, they learn from us.
Definitely. So when you were developing your own intuition, I definitely wanted to ask you this question because I'm so curious. Did you personally experiment with any of these new age tools that everybody kind of is utilizing today, like the tarot, for example, to kind of open up your intuition more?
The tarot is a funny one to me, because I grew up, I have a funny relationship with the tarot, because I used to do tarot card readings in high school from a place of deep discontent. So for me, the tarot was really about continually asking about my next boyfriend. So I don't do tarot readings now, even though I completely respect that modality. And I know many people do fantastic things. But no, for me personally, because I already had the voice in my head and I already was tapped into my intuition and my knowing, I never really found it necessary to use tarot cards. I do sometimes use divination cards now, just especially if I'm asking a question for me, because it's just sometimes a fresh take. And oftentimes too, I'm a big fan of signs in the world and hearing your and experiencing your intuition through signs. And it's a really good way, again, to sort of get out of your mind. So I do that now, but I don't do formal readings sometimes, because I have been practiced, because I've been familiar with tarot for so long. I will see a tarot card in my mind's eye during a session.
Wow.
So sort of the backwards tarot. And then I will say, I'm seeing this tarot card with this picture. Let's go to the book and see what the guidance is trying to show us right now. But I don't make it my practice, but I think it's a great way for many people to start. Pendulums are another good way that a lot of people start to get those yes or no questions. I tend to overthink the pendulum, but I used to use that a lot when I was first starting. Really any tools that come naturally to you are a great way to start. And one thing I also really love, and I do this a lot, and it is, you can use a book like a divination card or a tarot card. And I love to do that. If I have a question, or sometimes just in the morning, you know, what do I need to know for today? And I will keep a book by my bed. Spiritual books usually work better, but it might even work with a dictionary. And you just randomly open a page and see where your eyes are drawn. And like 9 out of 10 times, your amazing wisdom will pop out of the page for you. So that's a fun one.
Definitely. I like that. I think a lot of people will probably try to practice that after
this. and it's easy. And most people have books in their house. So.
Yes, they do. So I know that you personally, you know, work with children, adults, adolescents to address a wide range of issues, you know, that do range from like life transitions, grief and loss, even trauma and post-traumatic stress. However, there are a couple things that I saw that I was hoping, you know, to touch base on, and that's that you help children, adults, well, I would say primarily adults and adolescents with eating and body image concerns. Yes. And I wanted to talk about this because I think a good portion of our listeners also kind of struggle with that to some degree. And I was wondering how your intuition helps guide you when you have clients who are struggling with these, with eating concerns and even with issues of their body image.
Yeah. And that is such a common and deeply rooted issue in our society. And so I think it's a really a deep one for a lot of people, and an area I think where a lot of people have a lot of unconsciousness, meaning, you know, they just have so much pain around it and can really easily get sucked into that pain and that those misunderstandings and judgments around themselves, around others, around their bodies. I work with many parents, you know, around how do I communicate with my child? How do I help my child stay healthy without dumping all of this stuff about, you know, body image on them? And so I work with a lot of that. How do we raise our children so that they are emotionally healthy around their eating and their bodies? How do we learn to accept ourselves and our bodies in different sizes? How do we learn to uncouple this? We have a lot of judgments around people that are overweight in our society, and a lot of them are completely unfounded. And so, and a lot of my clients too make those judgments about themselves. So how do we start to unravel that? How do we start to eat more intuitively? Because we have so much information in our society. And I live in an area of the country too with a lot of holistic professionals. I love holistic health professionals, and they send me lots of clients and likewise, and I practice holistic health myself, but there's so much information now about eating for health. And a lot of it can be really destructive if it's not received in the right way, because when we think that certain foods are right or certain foods are wrong or good or bad, it can really get in the way of our nourishing ourselves, both, you know, emotionally and physically. And so there's a lot of dogma around that that I often try to help people unravel, and I help try to help people tap into their own intuition about around eating, and also normalize the fact that emotional eating, while it should not, you know, be your only way of self-soothing, is so natural and normal. And it's really the shame that we often feel around it that causes the problems, not the behavior itself. It's the shame that we have around eating for so many of us that actually drives our unhealthy eating behaviors. And when we can learn to just feel okay about feeding ourselves and learn how to feed ourselves in a way that feels most nurturing and most healing, it's a game changer.
It really is. Victoria, you definitely help, you know, children, adolescents, adults address so many issues. And I know we have to, unfortunately, end the call today, but I want people to be able to find you in case they want to reach you. So how can they find you to connect with you and book a session with you?
You can find me on my website, which is victoriashawintuitive.com is for my coaching and consulting practice, and victoriashawpsychotherapy.com, which is for my counseling practice if you are located in the state of Connecticut where I'm licensed. I'm also very active on Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn, and I post a lot of free content there. So those are places to look for me as well. And you can, I think, find the links to those on my website. And my course that is coming up will also be on victoriashawintuitive.com.
Thank you, Victoria, for joining me today. There's so much information that I still feel like that needs, you know, that we can unpack together.
Anytime. This was a blast. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. Take care.
Thanks.